Sitting down with another analyst this time around, it's Robin Marks, host of the Believe in Fantasy Basketball podcast, and he's done a TED Talk. We're going to talk about that. We are going balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Another analyst interview today, Robin Marks. I'm sure all of you know who he is. I'm going to unmute him, bring him in. Robin, late at night over there, so thanks for squeezing me in so late.
Come on, Kingy. You know how we do, my guy. Like, you go to sleep, I wake up. I wake up, you go to sleep. But any way you look at it, we always find time to jump on. So I'm honored to be here and just connect with you.
We do. Making it work is what we do. I've had you on my show a few times. I've been on your show a few times. So unlike a few of my guests this season, we have spoken before. Let's start at the top. Fantasy basketball, how did that become a thing for you? Because for most of us, we just fell into it, whether it was accidentally or not. How did it become a way of life for you?
Yes, that's a great way to start the show. I think it's fitting. Before we start, I want to say that intro is killer with the, yo, who, the song is so fire. I'm loving just all of the upgrades around the Fantasy Basketball International team. You guys are killing it. I just wanted to start with that. You guys are killing it with quality and just I'm loving what I'm seeing. So my story for fantasy really started as a fan and just a player. I was one of those guys who came from the fantasy football world as a player. So one of my friends at work, Jason, big shout out to Jay. I always shout him out because he kind of introduced me to fantasy. This might have been in the maybe 2015 or something like that. And he was like, yo, we're going to do a fantasy football league, y'all. And I was like, dude, like, I'm sorry. Like, I am not a nerd, and I'm not going to do that. Like, there's a lot of things that I'll do in life, but fantasy football, I'm not stooping to that level. And he was like, come on, trust me, you're going to love it. And I swear to you, Adam, that decision of joining my first fantasy football league changed my life. From there, the season was kind of winding down and fantasy basketball season was launching that same season that I got into my first fantasy football league. I got into my first fantasy basketball league. Funny story, the commissioner of the league, who happened at the time to be my supervisor, was a bit of a tyrant. So he would make us like, you could only use names that were Star Wars names. If you didn't create an original Star Wars name for your team, Adam, he would like veto your trades. It was like, wow. It was the messiest first impression for fantasy basketball. And the season ended where a bunch of the managers like kind of revolted and like dropped all of their players and like erased the app. It was so messy. That offseason, I was so sad. I don't know if you've ever heard of flea flicker. Have you ever heard of flea flicker?
No.
It is like we talk about fantasy sickos and degenerates. Mm-hmm. It's fantasy basketball, a fantasy basketball platform that manages the playoffs. So like the actual NBA playoffs, they have a fantasy structure for it. It is so wonky. Drafting is weird because you have to predict who will actually still be playing. So I played that just because I was so like sad that I couldn't play fantasy. And after that, I just kept playing, listening to people like Dan Bespris, listening to people like Josh Lloyd, and just learning more about the game. And then in 2021, my brother fell ill. And when my brother fell ill, I was there for him, like on the phone all of the time. And he was telling me about his dream to start a gaming channel. at the time I was doing social media consulting services for musicians. So I knew, like, you know, how to, like, create a brand and, like, you know, find an ideal audience. So I was kind of like helping him with all of that. And in the back of my mind, I was like, man, I should start that fantasy sports channel now. Like, if this guy is, like, essentially on his deathbed talking about his dream of starting a gaming channel, I can do it. So I secretly started the Game Pick Podcast channel, which was the name of my first show. And my brother passed away that November. I started the show in October, and he never got to hear about it or see it. But after he passed away, I was so broken and so, like, in need of some kind of mourning mechanism that I used the pod and I used the content to get me through. And I just leaned all the way in. I dissolved my my consulting company at the time for musicians, rebranded that, focused in on my my fantasy basketball, and here we are today.
Yeah, and that was that's a story that I have heard that story before. I think when we maybe when we first got on a show together and we were chatting, it came up. So it just, I mean, it shows you the impact of, like, for a lot of people, I talk to them, and my wife is a bit like this. You talk about fantasy basketball, it's a bit like, ah, it's just a game. It's not, don't take it serious. It's just a hobby. But it means a lot to a lot of people. For me personally, very similar to you, I sort of fell into it in a way, and it became just a hobby that sort of took over my life. But it provides a really good distraction from real life, and it gives me something to look forward to. Even on, if I have a bad day, whether it's at work or family or whatever's going on, it's something to fall back on. So, yeah, I think it's a really good example of how important something like fantasy basketball can be. So fantasy basketball now takes up a lot of your time. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you recently, I think it was June, did a TED Talk. Is that right? Talk to us about that. How did that come about, and what was the experience like?
Yep. So for me, I've always wanted to speak on a TED stage. Like, I always had an idea of what I thought I would talk about. I always thought, like, hey, you know, because my day job, you know, I do social media for local government. Before that, I did social media for a private startup, and that's just my field. So I always thought, I think I can do something, you know, about social media. In a way, it was coming from an opportunist perspective. I was like, if I do a TED Talk about social media and I do social media, I'm gonna blow up with my social media business. But when I pursued getting on the stage, it just separated me away from that opportunist mindset. And it was honestly a growth opportunity for me, not just as a creator, as a speaker, but also as a human, as a dad, as a son, as a brother and a friend. And the experience itself of waiting until it was my time, I think, is the biggest lesson that I connected with the organizer and was very upfront with him, like, hey, I want to be on the TED stage. How can I apply? How can I do it? And he was almost like, slow down. Like, what's your topic? You know?
Yeah.
Told him my topic. He was like, nah, you're not ready for that yet. Well, I said, well, what can I do to help? And I just supported them. I volunteered for a year. After that, I got introduced to other TEDx chapters because they heard about the work that I did with this chapter here in Georgia. And that year in 2023, two of our talks made the top 10 for TED that year, both garnering over, you know, 2 million views, both talks. So I was a part of that process on the team, on the organizational side of it. So as a creator, when I applied this year, I didn't know if I would get it. You know, I was just like, if I got to wait another year, I'll just wait another year and I'll keep becoming a part of this network. The same way I'm a part of the Fantasy Basketball Network, I'm becoming a part of the TED and TEDx community. And I remember the day that I got my my letter to, like, hey, we're inviting you to speak. This is your contract. Read it over and sign it. And Adam, when I tell you, I had this huge moment of imposter syndrome that came over me. I was like asking for this thing all of the while. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I got this paper now. Like, if I sign it, what if I, like, what if I can't do it? What if I can't remember the words? What I'm like all of these doubts. And then I just thought about my big brother. I thought about my mom who passed away. A part of my talk is about my mom as well. And I was just like, I got to tell the story, you know? And I leaned into it. I signed the papers, went through the entire creative process, which was, you know, I come from a hip hop background, Adam. So I've produced music. I rapped for many years. I create fantasy content. I'm just a creator, right? It's in my DNA. Yeah. But this was the most intense creative process ever. Like, I literally would be driving to work reciting my talk, like reciting it, like, yeah. Adam, in tears, like in like driving a car, like saying this TED talk, like,
yeah,
like just crying by myself because I had to like pull up all of these emotions about my mom passing and my brother passing.
Yeah,
we celebrated their birthdays for the first time ever in our house, playing their favorite songs, eating their favorite food, and like unleashing just wild emotions. And then on April 6th, the day after my brother's birthday, I got a call that my friend Shimmy passed away. And Shimmy was one of my best friends. So this whole emotional, reservoir that I unleashed and opened up, now I couldn't close it. you know, so now I'm going through this process. But again, just long story short, I would say that the creative process at the end, from beginning to end, made me a better version of myself, and I'm just grateful for it.
And so you sort of alluded to there that you're outside of fantasy, you have another career, which is social media creator, being a creator. For a lot of people that I've spoken to who do have a second job, first job, depending on where fantasy sits in your hierarchy of employment, The second job often doesn't relate to the fantasy at all. So for me, I work with autistic kids. I've interviewed a lot of teachers, people who work in IT, all sorts of things. For you, there's a bit of a blending there, I suppose, of what you do professionally in that space and your fantasy space, which, I mean, I see it when the way that you go about getting people onto your show, very professional. It's a calendar. It's find a gap, fit in, that you do all the shorts. Everything is done very professionally. So it's obvious that you have that sort of expertise in that space. Has that really helped you, do you think, with building your fantasy basketball brand?
Absolutely. I think that, being a social media professional before I started doing fantasy definitely gave me a more strategic lens in my approach to the content and to, you know, the way we create on the channel. I also believe that, you know, one thing that I try to do, you know, and many of the people that I've connected with in our community know this about me, is that I'm also very forward about sharing all of the things. So if I have information, knowledge, experience, like I'll do strategy sessions with guys, you know, about what they're working on, if they want the advice. Some, like most of us, are doing really well with what we're trying to do, but I think it's always fun to get an extra set of eyes. And I'm also the same way, where I'll ask people if they have ideas on ways that I can do things better. I think a couple of people who have been really helpful, Josh Lloyd, was like, I speak highly of him because he was one of the people that really brought me in to the inner circle of fantasy basketball. And it all started from me just asking, you know, for his ear. Another one, Dan Titus. I know Dan has been on your show a few times. Dan has been super supportive in sharing the information, the nuggets. You, Noah, and also Zach Hanshew. Zach Hanshew is almost like, you know, like my fantasy bro. Like I didn't meet him first, but he's been so forward about offering value in my life as a creator and as a fantasy analyst. I've learned tons with him. My opportunity at NBC Sports was because of him. So that I will forever be grateful for him for opening the door for me there as well.
Yeah, it is a very tight-knit community. Once you're in, it's very easy to call on others for advice or support or to jump on a show or that sort of thing. And I mean, that's sort of what I'm trying to do here, but just trying to do, I guess, more broadly is get more people on board and talking about fantasy. And it's certainly, I'm not of the mindset that, hey, I don't want you cutting my grass, or I don't want people coming in and taking viewers away from me. I think we work really well collaboratively as a, as a community. And that's probably my favorite part of doing this is just the people that you get to talk to and meet and engage with. And so the fantasy side of things, I suppose, if for a lot of us, we're category people, category leagues, you are not. You are, but you tend to focus more on points formats. And I know you were on Dan's show recently talking about points leagues and selling point leagues and the benefits of it, that sort of thing. And I suppose for a lot of people, when they first step into fantasy basketball, a lot of them are coming from fantasy football, which is a points-based format. Which makes sense then to transition over to a points-based format in basketball. But I didn't come in that way. I came straight in through category leagues, and that's potentially something to do with the fact that I don't live in the States, and so fantasy football is not a big thing here. So I guess the question, or it's not really a question, a discussion around what is it about points leagues that you prefer, or why do you lean more into points leagues than category leagues?
I love that you're asking this question, first of all. I love this. So I talked about this, like you said, on Dan's show the other day, so I'm kind of hot right now. I'm like on my points league soapbox right now. So the first thing is, like you said, you do points leagues primarily, but you do categories too. And I saw you kind of like, you do both, right? And I have done both. This season, I am not doing both. I am just doing points leagues, and I've always primarily done points leagues, but I've always been kind of like, but we'll do some category stuff too. And what I feel like that has done for the channel is kind of, I guess, the target audience, which for me are points leagues and new fantasy basketball players, it kind of muddles the water for them. So there's enough category league content. And anybody who lands on my channel, I'll always recommend them to go to the places where they'll get what they need. And I'll even have people on to talk roto and category here and there. The reason why, Adam, is because, A, it was what I came in on, and I've played in category leagues before. I haven't really played many roto leagues. I played one season. I was like, I don't want to do this. This is not enjoyable for me. Dan will be mad, but like, it wasn't my thing. But for points leagues, it gave me like a fix to hold me over while I waited for, fantasy football to kind of start up again. Right. So it's that bridge in between the end of the season as you're closing out fantasy football, you're doing your fantasy basketball, and then you kind of go into the off season. So I knew me coming in as an analyst, it was a perspective that wasn't really being highlighted. So the creators in the space are predominantly creating category league head-to-head content. So I saw that gap there and wanted to make sure that I could serve the community that best fit my target audience, which are, if you hear our shows at the first, our motto for our show, our creed of our show is, we believe every NBA fan that plays fantasy football should play fantasy basketball. So we are intentionally trying to be a gateway for people to come over from fantasy football into fantasy basketball. They will graduate and they will like go to listen and watch shows like yours, like Dan's, like Josh Lloyd's show, the Roto World Basketball show, those category leagues. But when they first come into the game, I wanted to make sure that there was a place for them to specifically give them the value that they need. Because I know when I first came in, I would listen to the shows and I would wait for the moment that they'd say this is for points leagues. And instead of giving them that, hey, we'll give you this, but wait until it's time, you just get the thing that you need to benefit you in your quest for a championship every single day.
Yeah, and I think part of that, sort of what you're saying is like points leagues are the gateway to fantasy. I think what we want to push, though, is that, yes, it is the gateway, but it doesn't mean it's you move through the gateway and away from points leagues and onto category leagues. You can always stay in points leagues. And I'm actually, as I said, coming in the other way, I'm actually going to do a couple of more points leagues this year. so that I can talk about points leagues a bit more confidently. So I'm looking forward to going that other way and listening in. I mean, I listen to all the shows, all your show, Dan's show, Josh's show, Roto World, Roto World. I listen to way too many podcasts. So I do listen to the points league stuff, but it'll be good to actually, in my mind, relate that to some of my leagues this year. So I'm looking forward to going the other way. Moving away from fantasy basketball, because that's sort of part of the point of this show, is to learn a little bit more about what it is you do when you aren't doing social media, when you aren't doing basketball, when you aren't doing TED Talks. Family-wise, as you alluded to, you are a dad. What does your family look like, and what does family life look like when you have time to spend with the family?
Yep. So I have two children. I have a 6-year-old and a 14-year-old. My 6-year-old mm-hmm. is doing everything under the sun, so we're very busy with her. She's a cheerleader, she's a soccer player, and she's like a ballet dancer. Mm-hmm. She just did her first runway fashion show on Saturday. Like, when I tell you, she is doing all of the things. So I'm really enjoying being a girl dad. That's like mm-hmm. that's something we prayed on and always wanted, is to have a little girl. So I love my baby girl. My boy is an aspiring basketball star. He is mm-hmm. like working his tail off to make the team. He made his middle school team last year, played AAU last summer. He's going to be going into high school this year. He's going to be trying out for the team. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of NBA players come out of his school. So, and they're also like, you know, Georgia is like big for basketball. So like players like Anthony Edwards played in the gym that he's going to play in. So he's like really into basketball. So that's a common thread that we have. He's as tall as I am now and pretty good. And I try not to play too serious with him because I don't want to really get beat. But my wife is an amazing woman. She volunteers at church to take care of little babies every Sunday. She's in education. And for me, like my greatest joy is being a dad and a husband. I'm very careful about how I manage my time to make sure that I'm prioritizing time with them. And they are very understanding and flexible that I have these creative pursuits that we do allow time for, that I freely, like right now, everybody's upstairs because they know daddy's shooting a show. And that's something, again, that I'm grateful for them for allowing me that space to create. Because if I didn't create, Adam, I would be like not a happy camper. Like, I need to do this to kind of release, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of creation, I have to, you said before I need to shout out the shirt, and I do, I'll stand to people can see it, but I do have my fantasy season over shirt, which you kindly sent me, I think, well, it was quite a while ago now, but it's a regular shirt in my rotation. It comes out at all of my fantasy drafts. So yeah, really appreciate the shirt. It's my wife, I feel like it's going to be one of those shirts where in a year or two, I'm going to get comments from my wife around, you're still wearing that shirt despite the fact that it's all faded and it's all tatty. And I'm like, it's fine. It hasn't fallen apart. I'm still wearing it. So, I really do appreciate the shirt. And that in itself shows your creative side by having a merchandise side of things, because I don't think any other analysts have that. I know RotoWire, I think you can buy some merchandise and things like that, but nothing fantasy specific. So appreciate the shirt anyway.
Hey, no, I love when I see you wear it. I've seen Josh wear it on his show. I've seen Noah wear it on the show. So I haven't seen Zach on the show, but I sent one to Zach. Listen, for me, Dan Besper said it best. He said, you're dressing the fantasy community. So for me, I'm gonna try to, like, I haven't had time to create anything new there. But if folks want to take a look, all they have to do is visit believeinfantasy.com and they can check out some of the t-shirts that we have.
So again, moving back away from fantasy and family and life, let's start with holidays, vacations. Is that something that you like to do with the family, something you get to do a bit? And if so, favorite locations, anywhere that you sort of find yourself going back to, or just somewhere that you've been once or maybe twice that sticks in your mind as a favorite?
Yep. In my younger days, in like my 20s, I lived in Europe for a while. So I was like traveling, like hardcore traveling, like, you know, like just a different level of passport action. And in this season of my life, we don't do much international travel, but we do love a good beach. And our go-to these days has been a beach in Florida called Destin Beach, which is just, it's a beautiful beach. The kids love it. One of my favorite things to do is just kind of kick it on the beach, like reading my favorite book or magazine or even scrolling my phone, taking a nap. Like, I just love to be on the beach. So that's our go-to.
We've got a lot of beaches over here too. And I know my family love going to the beach. I don't mind going to the beach, but I don't like the sand in my car after the beach. So that's more that of a me sucks. Thing than a beach thing.
This beach we go to, real quick, Adam, this beach that we go to, one of them at least, you can actually like pull your vehicle up on the beach. So we like roll the car up, back it up, pop open the trunk, and then we like have our experience like in front of our car. It's so cool.
Yeah, that is. It makes it a lot easier too than carting everything down to the beach that you have to take with you. Yeah, no, makes sense. Movies, TV shows. Do you have any time to watch TV or anything like that? I know myself, I'm on. I've got this week off work, just for some family things. But I'm just taking advantage of it. And between recording shows, I've just been watching movies that I haven't seen for a while. Is that something that you enjoy doing either, well, now or again, maybe when you were younger before?
Yeah. I think with me, I've always been into movies, but the Netflix era and age of content, just the sheer volume of options that we have. You can remember the days when we would like have television and like change the channel, right? I remember like we got to change the channel this, and we just go to 2 to 4 to 5. Now it's just like, it's literally endless. It's an infinite amount of content. And I believe because of that, I'm a little desensitized to what entertainment is in terms of long-term commitments, meaning 2 hours of my life, because everything is so fast paced. So my go-to preference for personal entertainment is YouTube. You know, I spent some time working at vidIQ, which is, you know, one of the top applications for YouTube creators. I was one of their creator coaches for a few months. And in that time, it just got me deeper into the weeds with YouTube. So I find myself spending more time, not just on my device, but also on the television, actually watching YouTube. But I do intentionally commit to moving away from that just because it's so fast paced, shorts or 10 minute videos, like watching a movie. And I did watch one the other day. It's Founder with Michael Keaton.
Yep.
And I've seen it before, but you know, especially as an entrepreneur, it's one of those films that when I watch it, it kind of something always clicks for me. So it was really cool to see that again. And I try my best, me and my wife, when we have our downtime together, when it's just me and her, that's our go-to. Like, hey, let's pick a movie, let's pick a show.
Yep. But you're right. I mean, with everything on demand nowadays and all the streaming services, it is, I often find myself just flicking through trying to find something to watch. And there's so many choices that I end up just watching something that I've seen 100 times before. Mm-hmm. And which is why now I'm actually going through my physical movie collection and picking something to watch. And my friend and I, so my wife is not really into movies, but my friend and I, we make a point of physically going to the movies or to the cinema once every 2 weeks. To watch usually 2 movies. So we'll have dinner, watch a 6 o'clock movie and then a 9 o'clock movie. So it's a late night, but it gets us out. There's rarely anyone at the cinema because people don't go to the movies anymore. So we get annoyed if there's more than about 5 people in there with us. So we've been in there by ourselves and that's awesome. It's like a movie, your own private screening of a movie. So, Yeah, I certainly remember the days of actually physically changing the channel and going to the video shop to hire or rent a video to watch. Yeah, it was the good old days. The kids will never understand.
They will never understand. One thing I joke about all the time, Adam, I say that I spend more time looking for what to watch than watching.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the new TV is like, let's just look at all of the trailers and all of the thumbnails, and let's just, before you know it, it's 30 minutes, I'm going to bed.
And I think that's why YouTube has really cashed in. As you said, everything, not everything, but a lot of what is on there is 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, and that's what the kids watch. And that, because that's what you do when you're searching for something to watch. You watch a three-minute trailer and then go, no, I'll watch something else. And yeah, it's the way of the world. And anyway, not much we can do about it. Food. I love food. Do you love food? And what food?
Oh, baby. Oh, man. Kingy, I wish I would have known this question was coming. I would have brought some wings. I would have brought some wings and ate some on camera tonight. I'm a wingman, man. That is my jammy jam. And it's a part of like sports culture here in the States, but also for me, just on a personal level, it's if it's prepared the right way, it's not too bad for you. I have one place here in Georgia called Taco Mac, and they do a oven roasted buffalo wing. So they don't deep fry them. They just oven roast those bad boys, toss them in the sauce or powder or rub of your choice. Some of those rubs are as low as, 5 calories per wing. We'll add an extra 5 calories. So by the time I'm done, I could have like 20 wings and it'll be like 1,000 calories. You know what I mean? Nothing like if it was deep fried, it would probably be like 1,800 calories or something like that. So for me, like my go-to is like I don't want no fries. All I want is some carrots, some celery, a little ranch, and some wings. Maybe a beer, maybe a seltzer water, depending on where I am in my week. That's my jam.
So I've been to the States twice now, and I knew that wings were big over there. So I knew that it was a thing that they're getting bigger here as Australia absorbs more American culture, that sort of thing. So there are places you can go now, and I've got some friends who, if we ever go to certain places, they just get wings. That's all they get. And it's just not a thing that I ever grew up with. I'll eat them and I enjoy them, but I remember when we went to Vegas a couple of years ago, and it was part of the RotoWire trip, and we went to Top Golf. So there was a good sized group of us, and they said, "Oh, we're just going to order some food for everyone." I thought, fine. They just kept bringing out buckets of wings, just continuous. And so I guess, okay, well, I've got to eat wings then. So that was my first real experience or exposure to the wing culture over there. And I have to say it was an enjoyable one because they were really nice, and some of them were a bit hot for my liking, but the ones that weren't spicy, I certainly got through my fair share of wings. So I get it. Other than wing, anything else other than wings, or you'd be happy to just have wings every night?
I would be happy with just having wings every night, but for our family, that wouldn't really work. It would just be me. Like, they like wings, but they couldn't eat it every day like me. But we do a bunch of tacos here. Tacos are another fan favorite here in the household. The kids love spaghetti. For me, I love some good Thai noodles. We also like a lot of Chinese food here. We love to go to dim sum. Dim sum is a big part of our family tradition. We go to dim sum for any celebration. So that's a big deal for us too.
Okay. All right. Look, I've kept you long enough. I'm going to let you do a short promo, let people know where to find you, what you've got going on, where we are. So this will be released, I would say, September. So we'll be pretty close to the fantasy season by the time this comes out. But what are your sort of plans, I suppose, leading into next season?
For this coming season, just going to be conducting mock drafts every Sunday. Between 10 and 11 Eastern time, we'll be going live, conducting some mock drafts for points league. So if you're playing in a points league and you wanna pull up for a draft, please pull up. If you're not playing points leagues and you just want to kind of feel how it is and have some fun, we'll be drafting on ESPN, on Sleeper, and when Yahoo opens up, we'll try to do some Yahoo as well. Other than that, you can get information about the merchandise as well as all of our socials, links at believeinfantasy.com. And also for the TED Talk, I'm really asking the fantasy basketball community, whatever league type you play in, whatever you're into, when that video comes out, just really urging people to take time to watch it, share it, interact with it on YouTube, especially when it first comes out. So by the time this airs, hopefully the talk will be out. And Adam, maybe you can share a link with them. And we'd love for you guys to just help us spread that idea from my TED Talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Always up for sharing content. And yeah, if you want to jump into a mock, as we said, this will be out in September. Yahoo Leagues are opening, I believe, 8th of August is when their site is opening. I had Dan Titus on my show yesterday or the day before, and he said he was sprung upon by management saying, we need your ranks done because we're opening in a week. So he wasn't ready for that. So they're actually opening very early this year, which I think I just think it's an indication of how many people are playing fantasy basketball now and are just clamoring for content and mock drafts and leagues and that sort of thing, that's why we're here. It's why we do what we do. So thank you again for finding time to come on the show. Always a pleasure. For anyone watching along, like, subscribe, give this one a thumbs up. Head over to our Discord server. Very big community over there. All of our draft-only leagues, all of our redraft leagues, all of our dynasty leagues, hundreds of leagues are open over there. So if you're bored or if, like me, you're always looking for more leagues, hit us up, hit me up, hit up B-Dub at Hidden Upside, and one of us will be able to point you in the right direction. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll be back with another analyst interview very soon. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.